In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. From Vespers last night, I quote, "Count us worthy of beholding the week of your passion, O lover of mankind, for we have completed the 40-day fast for the profit of our soul." End of quote. Those are the words of part of yesterday's Vespers as the church ends the 40 days of Lent and now enters into the holiest of holy weeks, Holy Week, this annual commemoration of the Paschal mystery, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord, Savior, Jesus the Christ, God and man. And this commemoration, as we can see, begins on a Saturday morning, the Saturday before Palm Sunday. It's called the Saturday of Lazarus. And today's celebration has a twofold focus, or between today and tomorrow. There's a twofold focus. Yes, it begins with Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus from the tomb, and then with Palm Sunday, our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem. And together, both these events are celebrating the beginning of the cross. And so that's why our liturgy tells us today is the beginning of Great and Holy Week. And as I continue with this homily, and as you listen to the different prayers, might you begin to see why today is the beginning of the holiest of weeks. In the troparion of today's celebration, we see a couple of things emphasized explicitly. It's affirmed. Number one, as you heard in the troparion, we've already sung it four times, we'll sing it again near the end of the Divine Liturgy. By raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus the Christ is already affirming and showing us the general resurrection for all people. That's the first teaching we get from the troparion of today's event, is the general resurrection that awaits every human being. And secondly, and even more significantly, while we are getting ready to enter the darkest period of human history, most of the days between now and next Saturday will be filled with a somber darkness, a heaviness. And yet, Holy Week begins and ends with light and joy. Today and tomorrow are days of light and joy. And 8 days from now, as we celebrate the resurrection, it ends in light and joy. What does this tell us? But that the light and the joy of God illuminates darkness itself and the somberness of darkness. The darkness cannot overpower it. As the Byzantine liturgy becomes more familiar to you, and yet we're not fully living it, God willing, when we have our own place for worship, we'll be able to more fully celebrate our liturgical life. One important day is usually a Saturday, and on a Saturday in our tradition, we usually have the Divine Liturgy. And on a normal Saturday, we remember always the dead. Liturgically, we commemorate the dead every Saturday. Today, however, on this Saturday, paradoxically, we don't remember the dead. We're remembering the living. We're commemorating the resurrection. That's the focus. And if you note, our liturgy is using all the prayers and the hymns of Resurrection Sunday. So this Saturday is completely unique from the rest of the liturgical year. We're using the format of Sunday. If you do Liturgy of the Hours, you'll say our book instructs us, take the format from Orthros of Sunday, because the whole theme today is about resurrection. So the joy that permeates today's peculiar liturgy is doing what? It's emphasizing the fourth coming victory of Jesus the Christ over what's called Hades or Sheol. You'll find it in the Bible. Hades or Sheol, what is it? It was the place of death. But not the way we think of death. Hades or Sheol was the place of non-existence. It's the place of total darkness. It's a place that swallows up life. It's the place that poisons everything that lives. It wasn't a very pleasant place, and that's what people believed in. Whether you're Greek or Jew, they said there's this place of Hades. Today, however, what's going on? Our Lord Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus. And as the liturgy proclaims today in several different verses, you even heard one of them during the divine praises, but one of them that you may have not heard is this: death's trembling. When our Lord approaches the tomb, death is trembling, Hades is trembling, Sheol is trembling. I quote one text: death will hear his voice and tremble with fear and groan bitterly. End of quote. Death in the presence of life trembles. And the divine praises, as was being sung before our liturgy began, we heard these words: before your own death, O Christ, you raised from Hades Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, violently shaking the dominion of death. End of quote. Say what we want about all these other religious founders and all these other philosophers in life. Death never shook before them. But before Jesus the Christ, the God-man, death trembles. And so the church from her earliest days liturgically announced this Saturday, from her earliest days, as the announcement of Pascha. Today is the announcement of Pascha. Why? Because everything we're commemorating today, as the Lord calls Lazarus out of death, out of Hades, is anticipating the wonderful light and joy of Resurrection Sunday. What happens sometime late Saturday night and early Sunday morning. With that general theme, now let's look at two specific elements in today's gospel passage recorded by John. Let's look at Lazarus, and let's look at this other phrase that appears only one time. Jesus wept. How many people have written on those two words? Jesus wept. Lazarus. Looking at Lazarus, who is he? Lazarus is a friend of Jesus, as we hear in the gospel. But he's more than just a friend of Jesus. John's using Lazarus to personify the entire human race. You and I are Lazarus. And where does Lazarus live? In Bethany. Yes, Bethany was a real place, in real space and time, some 2,000 years ago. But Bethany is the home of Lazarus. Bethany symbolizes the world. It's man's world. It's man's home. the human person's home. And so what John the Evangelist is trying to show us and teach us through this real event of raising, yes, a particular man, Lazarus, from the dead, but he's saying something much more profound. Just as Lazarus, the man, is the friend of God, every human being is the friend of God. And just as Lazarus, the man, sat down and ate with our Lord and had him into his home, this is the friendship the Lord desires for you and me and the entire human race, that we sit down at his table to dine with him. However, what happened? Through man, sin entered the world, and with sin came death. This power that was not created by God, it was not part of God's creation, as the Book of Wisdom tells us. And what does death do? It's the antithesis to God. God is life-giving, and death is the anti-life. It's the power that corrodes. It's the power that corrupts. It's the power that destroys. It's the power that annihilates. Death is alien and foreign to God's creation. And so what does God do? He sees what's happening to his friend, the human race, to you and me. And what is it? He sees that what's been created is a veil of tears. What's been created is a song of lamentation. What appears a place of travail. What exists is a land of anguish. And it stinks. It's rotting. And in this most unfortunate of travesties, what do we see our Lord doing? He comes and he stands before the tomb of mankind. And he weeps. And unlike what some theologians will try to say, oh, this was God the man, this was man in Christ weeping. No. Our liturgy tells us God, man, wept. God weeps because he sees what's happening to his friend who rots and stinks because of this alien power. And what does God do? Selfless love confronts anti-life, death. And he approaches the tomb of man. And he orders that stone to be removed. And yet what does his creature say around him as he wants the stone? No, don't open that tomb. There's going to be a stench. Isn't that what we do all the time? Try to push it all away? And the Lord's not deterred. No, move that stone. Yes, man is filled with sin and death, and it stinks, it reeks. We see it in the papers every day. The stench of sin and how we treat one another. It's awful. It's repugnant. Nevertheless, what does the God-man do? He came to restore the glory that belonged to you and me. Our Lord and God, Savior Jesus Christ, came to remove the stench. Jesus the Christ encounters death. He encounters the reality of anti-life, and what does he do? He takes it away. He takes it away. Today, the church in her liturgy follows our Lord to the grave, and we are entering into his hour, the hour for which he came, the hour to fulfill his work, the cross, the cross. And so today begins the hour of his cross. He stands before the tomb of Lazarus. He stands before the tomb of the human race, and he weeps. But we see what impels him. I love my friend Lazarus. I love my friend Lazarus. I love my human race. And that's what impels him forward. The power of the resurrection is rooted in the power of selfless, sacrificial love. And is that selfless love that creates, is that selfless love that redeems, it is that selfless love that recreates. And through it all, our Lord weeps. God recreates and God restores a darkened human life by going into that death. And he says to the man inside, to you and me, Lazarus, come out. So yes, Lazarus Saturday begins the cross, and it ends with the resurrection. The cross is the supreme sacrifice of selfless love, and the resurrection is the ultimate triumph of selfless love. Christ is among us.